Grace and peace be to you, from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We study the theme, Oneness in Christ. Lesson 11, Unity in Worship. Worshipping the Creator. That's the theme. An interesting theme. We need it for the preparation for the end time. Worshipping our Creator and Redeemer. The Apostle John, he was the one who lived longer than all the other apostles. He survived them all. And in the end, he was taken in prison here on the island of Patmos. And his imprisonment on this island should isolate him so that he doesn't have any contact with anybody. But then Jesus appeared, and in vision, he got informations about the future till the end of the world. And in one of these visions, in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, Daniel was allowed to have a look into the center of the universe. There is the throne of God. And there are the 24 elders, the heavenly government. And what could he see there? In Revelation 4, we find that God the Father is worshipped because he is the Creator. We read in verse 11, what was going on there? The heavenly government, they sing a song. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why so? For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. The Creator is worshipped because he is the Creator, the Father, the Holy Father on the throne. We are in the center of the universe. All the galaxies encircle this throne. They move around. In our world, everything is made up like this. There is a center and movement around the center. Each atom in the microcosmos, when you look under the microscope, you see a center, the electrons encircling the center, the protons. When you look in the macrocosmos, sun, planets, a throne, galaxies. It's the same system. Isn't it great? A center encircled by moving elements around it. So the universe is made up of these elements. And John is allowed to look into the center where the mightiest person of the universe reigns, God the Father. And then in chapter 5, John gets a glimpse there what happens on the throne. The Father has a book in his hands. and it is sealed with seven seals. And then it is asked, who is worthy, chapter 5, verse 3, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? Who is worthy? And you couldn't find anyone. And John wept because no one could be found. But then the lamp appears, a symbol for Jesus. And the lamp comes and takes the scroll and breaks one seal after the other. And everything we read in the Revelation to John, everything we read there in the Revelation to John, the rest of the book, is because of the opening of this scroll. Now, the Father, he got a son. You're worthy. What about the son? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Seven elements. Why so? Verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because, and now we get to reason, because you were slain and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. By your blood, you have bought them. Therefore, you are worthy to be worshipped. Now, do you see the whole picture? The Father on the throne. You are worthy to be worshipped because you created. He made it through his son, but he took the initiative. Here, the son, the redeemer, he redeems you. And so we see, through the Father, you came into existence. Then life started. And through the Redeemer, Jesus our Lord, your life will go on. You will not just pass away. Life, starting point, Father. Life forever, Son. Therefore they are worshipped. Who else can give you that? Who can give you life? And who can give you eternal life? Father and Son. Are you among the worshippers? High time to be. False worship. In Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus moving to the desert. And there he stays for 40 days and nights, eating nothing at all. Remember, the first Adam was in the paradise, thousands of trees laden with fruit. Jesus in the desert, sand, stones, rocks, brown, dead, nothing to eat. And then the devil comes. If you're the Son of God, just say, you stones should become bread, loaves of bread. Bread. When you haven't eaten anything for 40 days. Bread. Tastes sweet, doesn't it? Adam had only one tree he wasn't allowed to eat from. Jesus had nothing at all when the devil came. Do you see the difference? It's the same as if you were very, very fit so that you can be a member of the Olympic Games, and you want to run for 100 meters, and you have just sports dress and so on, fine shoes to run, and on the other side, there's one who is full of heavy weight, like a knight in the Middle Ages, made of iron, his clothes. And then you run with this iron clothes and the same length as the one who has his sports dress. So it's Jesus in the desert in comparison to Adam in the paradise. The devil, in the third point of this story in the desert with Jesus, shows Jesus on a high peak all the lands of the planet, Earth. And he tells him, I will give you everything, the whole planet Earth, when you fall down in front of me and worship me. Ah, what can we see here? The desire of the devil to be worshipped by Jesus. For this one point, he would give everything he had. Of course, he had robbed it from Jesus. But now he was, it was his property at the moment. And he would give back everything if he were worshipped by Jesus. In the book of Daniel, we find an interesting story. The Israelites had been brought from Jerusalem here to Babylon at the river Euphrates. And here they had to settle for 70 years. Babylon. 70 years of Babylonian captivity. And three friends of Daniel, they were forced to worship a golden idol. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had made it. And it was of gold from top to toes. And if you do not worship, you are thrown into the oven, burning with fire. They did not fall on their knees, these three. And they were thrown into the oven. They got a second chance, but they didn't use it. They said, we will never do that. We fall on our knees in front of our God, but not in front of an idol. And when they were in the fire, the king gazed at them. Haven't we thrown three men into the oven? I can see four. And the fourth looks like his son of God. It was Jesus. And when they came out of the fire, you couldn't even smell any smoke on the hair. Nothing at all. Only the feathers had been burned. And in Revelation 13, we have the story how this will work in the last days before Jesus comes. We read about an idol of the beast. And you're forced to fall down there. Now, what does this image mean? This image of the beast in Revelation 13. The two powers, the two beasts, papacy and the United States, they will form a union and they will force you to celebrate Sunday. and to throw away Sabbath. It will be the battle of the end time, Sabbath or Sunday. And they will force you celebrating the Sunday, otherwise you are not allowed to sell or to buy, and in the end you will be killed. And therefore we got the message of Daniel 3. You will be thrown into the oven. You will experience the fire. But you are not harmed by the fire if you are loyal to God and if you refuse worshipping an idol, a false Sabbath. The first angel's message. In Revelation 14, there is an interesting warning. The angels fly in mid-air, and they have an eternal gospel to proclaim. What does the first angel say in a loud voice? Fear God and give him glory. Why? Because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Interesting. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. When you have a look at Exodus 20, we read there in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Yeah. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Same text. Remember the Sabbath day, worshipping the Creator. And here, the last warning, first angel's message. Worship the Creator. Fear the Lord, fear God. Give honor to him. That's important. Give him glory. Because the hour of the judgment has come. Now, time of decision, Sabbath or Sunday. Very, very interesting. So, the end time will be a time when everything is turned over. The United States and the papacy will form a union, a bond of unity. And we, as real Christians, will form a unity too, a bond of love, united by Jesus' love. And then, the devil wants to force everyone to come on his side. And God warns, be aware. Be aware. And if we trust in him, we will come into the oven, but Jesus will be with us. They cannot do any harm if he is with us. They cannot do even any harm when they kill you, because he will resurrect you. Death, what is death? Death is nothing for Jesus. He wakes you up as you wake up your kid in the morning and say, darling, it's time to get up. So easy it is for Jesus to resurrect you from the dead. This is a small task for him. He's a creator. He can make things out of nothing. And in this last period of Earth history, the test will be whom you are worshipping. The false one or the right one? Sabbath or Sunday? False Sabbath, correct Sabbath. In the desert, the devil would have been pleased if Jesus had worshipped him. He was willing to give him everything for that. Only for this. So in the end time, the devil puts all eggs in one basket. He wants you to worship him on Sunday. And God, the Father and Jesus, they warn you, say, worship on Sabbath. And then you have to decide. There, death will follow. Here, eternal life will follow on the side of Jesus. On which side do you want to be? Bible study and fellowship. We go back 2,000 years to the time of the early church, the first Christians. After the Spirit had been poured out, the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter had preached, and because so many people had flocked together in the temple courtyard, and then 3,000 were baptized on this very day at Pentecost. 3,000 on one day. And what went on then? And we hear in Acts 2, verse 42, what about these early Christians? Two decisive points. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. In the time of the prophet Jeremiah, just before the Babylonian captivity, only a few years before, the high priest found, when restoring the temple area, a scroll. A very important scroll which had been lost. It was the book of Deuteronomy. And they brought it to the king and to the prophetess. And they read about blessings and curses in Deuteronomy 28. And they were upset. And because of the studying of this book of Moses, the fifth one, something happened in Jerusalem. Revival and reformation. And reformation started. Because of the studying of the Word of God, they read every single word in the fifth book of Moses. And because of this, they got power. And the Babylonians were kept off. Later on, they forgot about the texts. And the Babylonians came and took the upper class of the Jews into captivity to Babylon. The study of the word produced blessings. We make a jump in time when Paul was on his second missionary journey. He came from Troas to Philippi, to Thessalonica, and Berea. And there, we read that those in Berea were different ones. They were different from the Jews in Thessaloniki. Because they there studied the scriptures. They wanted to know, is it true what the Apostle Paul had told us about the Messiah, about a suffering Messiah? Is it written in the text? Is it there? Is he correct in his understanding of the scripture? And the conclusion? He's right. That's the truth. The Messiah has already come. Jesus is the Messiah, and our leaders have crucified him. Oh no! And they became converted. Jews that became Christians. They studied the word, and then they were sure what is truth. In his letter, in his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul, just before he was killed by the Emperor Nero in Rome, in this second letter, Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 3, and there in verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Bible study and fellowship. What a blessing. Breaking of bread and prayer. So we heard about the early Christians. They remained in studying this, the teachings of the apostles. They came together in fellowship. And they remained in the breaking of bread and prayer. These four elements, they are the key for success. Four elements. If you live in them, you will be blessed. In Acts chapter 1, the apostles did something because Jesus had told them something just before. The last words before his ascension to heaven, he told them, only a few days, and you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. So wait in Jerusalem till you get this power. And then when you receive this power, the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Stay here to receive power. And what did they do then? We read that when they came back, they all joined together constantly in prayer, in one mind. In these 10 days, between the ascension of Jesus to heaven and Pentecost, they confessed their sins to each other. A spirit of forgiveness was felt. And they prayed for the Holy Spirit that they might receive it for 10 days. And then the Spirit came. Prayer. The secret. In Acts chapter 4, we hear of Peter and John. They had been in the temple. At the temple door, they had seen a crippled man, lame from birth on, and Peter and John healed him in the power of Jesus. And the high priests, they were full of envy and jealousy. And they sent the guards to imprison the apostles. And when they were in front of the Sanhedrin, they were asked, by what power or what name did you do that? down? Peter answered, It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Shock therapy for the Sanhedrin. They had killed Jesus, and now the movement went on. And they thought, when Jesus is dead, everything will be dead. But the movement grew bigger and bigger and bigger. And what happened then? They were told by the Sanhedrin, from now on, you are silent, you apostles. Do you hear us? You are silent. You never, ever will proclaim this message of Jesus anymore. Do you understand? Otherwise, you will be dead. Now the apostles came back and told the church members. And what did the church members do? They prayed. They prayed for the apostles that they are not acting as cowards, but as brave men, proclaiming the gospel. And when their church prayed, the earth was moved, the ground was moved. Earthquake. God had answered the prayer. And the apostles went forward. No cowards. Not at all. They were brave. And were arrested again. But an angel opened doors of prison in the night. And when the Sanhedrin assembled and called for the apostles out of the cells, no one was there. Someone said, they're already in the temple again. Then they were called. Not by force, just follow me. And they were asked, haven't we told you not to proclaim this message of Jesus? You haven't obeyed. You are unloyal. And Peter, because of the power of the Spirit, answered, judge by yourself what we should do. Should we obey God or your command? God told us to proclaim. You said, don't. Whom should we obey? We have to obey God more than human beings. Summary. Worship. Unity in worship. We are united in worship when it's the right to worship. In the end time, the last period before Jesus returns to our planet in the clouds, sending out his angels to collect all the saints. In this last period, the devil will assemble all his forces. And the two superpowers, political superpower, United States of America, religious superpower, popery. And these two, they go together, they join in unity. It's the false unity. And together, in this bond of unity, they will force every person on earth to follow them. And we, as Seventh-day Adventists, are warned. Fear God. Give the glory to him. The hour of judgment has come. Worship the one who has created the earth, the heavens. Here we have to make a decision, either or. The false side, under the flag of the devil, they will force you. Economic power is there. If you do not celebrate the Sunday, And if you go on celebrating Sabbath, you will not be allowed to sell or to buy. And in the end, we will kill you. And God knows, it will come. It is the furnace in which you will be thrown. But in this furnace, like the three Hebrew friends of Daniel, in this furnace, you will not be burned. You are thrown into the furnace, but Jesus will be there. Nothing can be done to you. They cannot burn you, because Jesus rescues you out of the furnace. In this last period, we need to be instructed in Scripture. We need to read daily in the Scripture, in fellowship, so that we do not go astray. Then we gather oil in reserve. We will be filled with the Spirit, so when the bridegroom delays, we still have oil. If you all sleep, that we still have oil. When the loud cry is heard, he comes! Are you ready then? Are you prepared for that? Preparation means daily searching in the Scripture. Daily being instructed by Jesus. Daily being together in fellowship. Daily eating together. Eating with your brethren and sisters. Eating the Word of God. Daily being together in prayer. We will need it to go through the most decisive time in history, just before Jesus returns. It will be a short time, but a time of trouble, as it has never been before. And all those who haven't prepared them daily in a loving bond with Jesus, a loving relationship with him, will be swept away because by the force of the two superpowers, United States and Popery. Be aware. On which side would you like to stand? On which side do you stand? Take your stand. Now.